Hello, it's me again.
Voice memo, with Amanda. She records it on her iPhone.
It's been a really long time. I'm sorry. It's been so long. There's really no excuse for it. But, you know, life happens. Shit happens. And I'm sorry I haven't made the time for my fans, because I know you really care about me and you want to know what I'm up to. So I'm here. I just put my son down for a nap. My doggy, little T, just got 16 teeth pulled out, which makes me feel bad because I was not doing my part as a dog mom. To take care of her teeth, I guess I just didn't really think about it, like that you're supposed to brush their teeth because it's like they're a dog. And I'm used to cats, right? Cats, you don't have to brush cats' teeth, I don't think. I don't know. Cats don't have as many health problems as dogs do, especially little dogs with tiny little brains. But so my sweet little doggy, she's feeling better. But she was pretty fucked up for a couple days. But it definitely made me feel self-conscious when the doctor was calling me being like, yeah, these teeth are basically falling out. Like, I don't even have to use my tools. I could just pluck them out. I'm like, okay. She's like, there's all this dental disease and rot and there's no bones. I'm like, okay, just do whatever you have to do. Don't make me feel bad about my poor dog getting half her teeth taken out at the same time. Anyway, vets are such a fucking racket. There was one, maybe, I think we've told this story on the podcast, but we were going to go to Philadelphia when Marley was a baby. And, well, she wasn't a baby, she was a toddler. But we had gone around Griffith Park, just walked around, and then Tina, after we went to the park, we went to lunch, and Tina's paw was, like, swollen. And we were like, oh, God. Like, her paw and then her leg was getting swollen. We're like, great. Now we're supposed to leave tomorrow, and we have to take her to the vet. And anyway, I realized it was a bee sting because I was just kind of looking it up. I'm like, oh, maybe she stepped on a bee? And so we called the vet, and we're kind of like, well, should we bring her in? And he's like, well, you know, yes, because, you know, we should get her looked at. And we're just like, well, what's going to happen if we don't? Like, what will happen? And they're like, well, what usually happens, like if a person gets stung by a bee, it'll get worse. Me and Brendan were like, what? We're not bringing her in. Like, he just lied. He basically said that it was going to get worse when a human gets bit by a bee. It just kind of goes away. So then we just didn't take her and it just went away. But now I feel bad for, like, being so cheap and not wanting to spend money on her, because I just spent however many thousands of dollars getting her teeth cleaned and pulled. And I don't know. I feel bad for my little doggy. I wonder if, like, if when she dies, I'll get another dog. Probably not. I just want a cat. I really want a cat. We probably won't be able to get one, though, because in our house, there's no place for a litter box. And if you let the cat out, there are coyotes, like, patrolling our front and backyards at all hours of the day. So that would be bad. Still, I take my daughter to the pound, and we look at kittens together, which Brendan thinks is not very fair. But, you know, I talk to her, and I say, yeah, well, when we move, we get a bigger house, then we can get a kitten. But she and I are both ready for a cat. I was going to say, when I first started this, I said something that I wanted to expand upon, but I don't remember what it was. So I'm just going to move on to something I've been wanting to talk to you guys about, which is a friend of mine I guess she's a friend. A friend of mine's wife, who had a baby recently, and yeah, I feel like everybody's like getting pregnant. Maybe I'm just at that age where everybody's getting pregnant. I mean, I think I'm pretty much done. I always kind of wanted like a bunch of kids, and now I don't. Now that I have two, I think I'm kind of like, yeah, I think I'm done. I wouldn't mind a little girl, but I just wish that I could have the baby and fast forward to when they're like 18 months old. I don't really love the baby newborn stuff. I loved it with Marley, but when you have a newborn and a toddler, it just sucks. So anyway, so a friend of mine had a baby recently, and her Instagram is private. And on her Instagram, like, you know when people post pictures of their kids but then like put a heart over the kid's face or something, because they don't want kids to like, or they don't want people to see their kid's face, which is like, I get it. But I mean, if your profile's already private, then don't you, isn't it just your friends? Like, my Instagram's private. Sorry, guys. So people, you know, I know that it's just people that I know that are looking at these pictures. So I don't feel like awkward or anything. But so this girl always does that with pictures of her kids, or like, the kids are always looking away anyway. And then, so she had a baby and she wanted to do a home birth, and she's kind of like a know-it-all. And she was telling me about how home births are like safer than the hospitals because hospitals aren't safe. And I don't know, where I'm just like, okay, well, you had your first kids in a hospital, so I don't know what you're talking about. But she's just the kind of person where when they text you, you're just like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And it's like, they never ask you anything about yourself, which is fine. But so she posted this long thing about her labor and how she wanted to have a home birth, but the baby wasn't moving, so they had to do an induction and whatever. Like this long, very detailed synopsis of her birth. And then that's a caption for a video of her giving birth, literally pushing the baby out of her vagina. Like, you see the baby exiting her vagina. I'm serious. Like, you could, I mean, I even was like, oh my God, I can't look at that. And I've had two kids. And I just think it's so crazy that it's like, you won't show your kid's face, but like, you'll show your kid exiting your pussy hole. Like, what's more intimate than that? Like, I don't share that stuff. I have hundreds of pictures of the kids, but like, I would never share a video of me in labor or like actively pushing the baby out. I just feel like that's so sensitive and personal. And it's like, I don't want people to know that, but then you're going to like not show your kid's face, but then like actually show them coming out of you though. Like, I don't know. It's such a weird, it's just like people have such weird ethical and moral values on Instagram, you know. Social media is kind of like where all that stuff sort of goes to die. Like, you're really gonna, I mean, I feel like I talked about that before, where this girl that I went to college with was like posting videos of her dad in the hospital and was like, oh, I'm visiting my dad at this so-and-so hospital. My dad's getting this surgery and doing this, and then like posted a picture of him, but like blocked out his face. I'm like, I could probably call the hospital and ask to speak to his doctor, because I have enough information to like know who it is and what, like, you know, like I could access his hospital records with the amount of information that she was sharing. But then for her to just like not show their face, like, I don't know, it's so weird. And it's so like, I don't know, I get, you know, I mean, I post a lot of pictures of my kids too, and you're so proud of it and you want to share, but sometimes it's like, that's too much. I don't think people need to know that, like with Chrissy Teigen, when like she was pregnant and the baby died or whatever, and she was posting all these pictures of her in the hospital crying, and like, I don't know, I'm just like, it's such an intimate moment. Like, why are you sharing that? Like, some things are allowed to be personal and like not shared. It's some sort of a weird, obviously, narcissistic thing or something, but it's just crazy. I have a friend, Becky, if you're listening, a friend of mine, Becky Lucas, she's a friend of the pod. She's in Australia, so it's always hard to get her on because the time difference is so bad. But she's pregnant, and a while ago she asked me to share my labor stories. So even though I just talked about all that stuff, I want to be personal. I mean, I don't mind sharing a labor story. I mean, it's not a picture of me pushing the baby out. It's not, you know, a shot of the baby exiting my hoo-ha. But I do think labor stories are like fascinating because they're so different in so many different ways. It's so weird. It's like there's all this sound coming from my backyard. There's all this sound coming from my backyard. I went to check my Ring doorbell and I thought maybe the babysitter was home, but she's not. So I think maybe it's squirrels, or hopefully it's not like rats in the walls. There's just always like skittering about. Anyway, sorry. I thought she was home. I love sharing labor stories. Everybody's is so different. So I'll share my first labor. And if you guys are not interested, you could just skip past this part because it'll just be a couple minutes of me talking about giving birth where... I was 4 days late, past my due date, which is an estimation, and I wouldn't recommend, I feel like a lot of doctors are pushing for inductions, like being induced, and I would recommend not doing that. I just feel like let your body figure it out, and if it goes too late or if it's an emergency, obviously you have to, but I would say just walk. Walking, I think, helped me. And this might be TMI, but sex, or if not full sex, sperm has some, I don't know what it's called. There's something in sperm that helps efface the cervix. So just have your husband or boyfriend or whatever jerk off, and when he's about to come, just like put it up in there so that it'll help you dilate naturally. Anyway, so I was like 4 days late. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. I woke up with cramps and I thought, oh, I could just go back to sleep. It just felt like period cramps. And then I was like, no, it was a little too intense. And I was going to the bathroom and, you basically have to clear the way. Like you have to clear your stomach and make sure everything's small enough so that the baby can go out. So you have to empty, if you know what I'm saying. So I was doing that kind of all morning. And then my contractions were starting to get, well, I wasn't sure if it was contractions. I thought it was just cramps. And sometimes you can get this thing called Braxton Hicks, where it's like fake contractions, even though it feels real, but it's just like your body practicing, I guess. So I thought, oh, maybe it's that, or my mucus plug, which is kind of gross. But it's like, it's what plugs the cervix basically. So I was kind of like texting with a friend of mine's doula because I didn't want to pay for a doula because I thought that's kind of stupid. I mean, if you have like a mom that you're close with or someone who's had kids before, like just talk to them. It's basically the same thing. I mean, I understand if your parent isn't around or if you don't like have a person to go through it with, like I guess a doula is good, but you could just kind of Google whatever it is you want to know. And then, I don't know. I feel like a doula is kind of a racket. Anyway, so I was texting with the doula and she was saying that I should go in to the hospital. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel like that bad yet. I just was like, the cramps were coming pretty quickly, like maybe a couple minutes in between. I think they say like, no, you know what? It was probably like 8 minutes or something, but they say five minutes. It's like 5 minutes between, I don't remember. I guess a doula would be good, but there are some guidelines of like when you should go to the hospital when it's starting to progress, but just also listen to your body and try to relax at home as long as you can, because the hospital kind of sucks. But so anyway, so it's like 5:30 in the morning until like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And then my mucus plug came out and then I just felt like, oh, so much relief. And I thought, oh, okay, that's it. And I took a nap for a couple hours. And then when I woke up, my cramps were really bad. And I'm like, oh, these are contractions where it's like, it starts in the front and then it wraps around to your back. It's kind of like the whole, it feels like period cramps, but then it wraps around to your lower back and it just like squeezes and you're like, oh, it sucks. So I was doing that for a while. And then I was like, all right, I think we need to go. My friend Chelsea came down and sat with me and she was like 9 months pregnant too, watching me go into labor. And she's like, so scared. She's like, ah, what is this? So she sat with me while Brendan took the dog and packed a bag and kind of like we got everything ready to go. And by the time I got to the hospital, I was 5 centimeters. And I thought, you know what, let's see how long I can go without an epidural. And I think it was like an hour later. And they're like, oh, you're 5.5 centimeters. And I was like, all right, I'll just get an epidural. So the epidural was great. I mean, I couldn't feel anything. I fell asleep. And then they, you know, they would come in and check on me. And then my labor, like the dilation slowed down a lot. So the next morning they checked me. So I went in like 5 p.m. The next morning they checked me like 5 a.m. So now it's been about 24 hours since I've been in labor, right? Because I started 5:30 at home in the morning. The next day at like 6 a.m. I'm in the hospital and then they check and they popped my bag because my water didn't break. So they popped it, which is kind of normal actually. Or not normal, but it's like kind of typical. Like not everybody's water breaks. So they broke my water and then they said I was 10 centimeters, but my contractions were far apart. So they suggested, mind you, I have not seen the doctor. I've only been with nurses. And they said they recommended using Pitocin, which is the medicine they give you if you're inducing. So they gave me Pitocin and that was the worst thing because they wanted my contractions to get closer together so I could start pushing because I was 10 centimeters and I'd been in labor for so long. And so I said, all right, whatever. And they gave me the Pitocin and then I had my feet up to sort of start pushing. And as soon as my feet went up, I could start feeling my toes again. Like the epidural had me totally numb. I mean, I couldn't move my legs and I was like, what the fuck? And so I don't know if Pitocin counteracts an epidural. I'm not sure what that is, but my epidural went away as soon as the Pitocin went in. So I felt everything. I went from literally nothing to feeling intense. You know, I'm 10 centimeters and I'm trying to push and I'm having these awful contractions. So that kind of sucked. And then I was pushing and I was like, I can't do it. And they're like, well, we could wait for the anesthesiologist to come back in and give you another epidural and whatever. I was like, whatever, let's just do it. And they were like, okay, if you're pushing and he doesn't come out for three hours, then we're going to have to do a C-section. And I was like, oh God. And I was like, I don't think I could push for 3 hours anyway. I mean, it fucking hurt. So I was there and I honestly pushed for 2.5 hours of like intense pain. And the baby was not coming down because I needed, the baby was too big. Marley was just too big. So finally the doctor came in, right? Like a half hour before they were going to have me get a C-section. And, he finally came in and he gave me an episiotomy. That's when they cut your fucking hole. And for lack of a better terminology, they cut your hole and, she came out in like a minute. So that's all I needed. And then they have to stitch you up. And so, I was exhausted. But yeah, she came out fine. She wasn't crying. She was sweet. She nursed. That fucking hurt too. It hurts your nipples bad. Well, not everybody's, but it hurt mine. And, yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean, it wasn't scary. It was a lot slower. Like in the movies, they make it seem like, you know, your water breaks and the baby's coming out. And some people do have that. I think if you're like active, like you exercise a lot, I feel like that makes your labor faster. Also, it kind of depends. I mean, I don't know if this is like scientifically sound, but it seems like it depends on when or how your mom gave birth, like what her birth was like, because mine was very similar to my mom's. You know, it was long, and then they gave you some Pitocin, whatever. So, yeah, that was Marley. And with Miles, it was a little bit easier because I kind of knew what to look out for. That started again at like 7:30 in the morning, same thing where I was like, I don't know if it's just cramps, whatever. He was a week early because my doctor did a cervical sweep, which you can refuse if you don't want to. They kind of like wipe the membrane to sort of get labor going. So I'm talking about not getting induced, and that's sort of like a way to induce sort of without chemicals. Anyway, so that was like 7:30. Miles, I woke up. I packed Marley a bag. I took her over to my mom's, because she was going to stay there while we went to the hospital. And I went and drove to get my car detailed. I'm like walking with contractions, like 9 months pregnant, like, oh, walking and having to stop every couple steps because I was getting contractions. But it wasn't that bad. Like, you know, walking around actually feels better. Like, I don't know. It just kind of, I don't know, it just felt better. So then I went to my mom's and I was sitting there with my brothers and I was like, I think I need to go home. And so my one brother drove my car back and my other brother drove me back. So I was like, I don't think I can drive. So he brought me home. My mucus blood came out. This was like 4 PM and I was like, oh, and I sat down and I put on Nacho Libre cause I love that movie. And then I was like, oh shit, they're starting up again. And then, so by the time we got to the hospital, it was probably like 5:30. They were doing construction on the hospital in the front. So they had to drop me up. Brendan had to drop me off and I had to walk pretty far like in, and it was during COVID. So like I had to like, you know, check in and do all the stuff. And luckily they didn't make me wear a mask. Thank God. but I got up, I was feeling okay. I was walking around and literally I felt fine, even though I had contractions, until I got into the hospital room. And it was like hot and it was small and stuffy. It was a different hospital than where I delivered Marley because I had a different doctor. I had different insurance. And I had to get an IV because I was testing positive for, there's like a staph, I don't know, some sort of staph thing. So they give you antibiotics for it. And once they did that and I laid down, then it really was starting to hurt. I was like, if I would have just kept walking around and like didn't check into the hospital yet, I would have felt better. And I had the slowest. My nurses at the first hospital, one nurse was amazing. I loved her. She was with me the whole time almost. This nurse was like this old, well, I'm talking old, 70s old, moving slow as a fucking sloth, like moving slow. And I'm like, I'm in labor, like, can you hurry the fuck up? And so they took my blood when I first got in there and they have to test it to make sure I can get an epidural, which is like, I don't think they did that when I got my epidural at the first hospital. I don't know. So I was waiting for the test results and they were like, okay, I think it was 6:30. And they were like, okay, the doctor's going to be the whoever's going to be here at 7, like a half hour to get your lab results, and the anesthesiologist will be here. I said, okay, that's fine. I can do it. And then it was like 7:45 and I was fucking dying. I was just standing there having these awful contractions, like kind of yelling. And they tell, when I was in labor the first time, my nurse was like, don't yell, just don't scream. I'm like, okay. And then it kind of like makes it not hurt as much. Cause you're not like, ah! Like you just kind of are like, okay, I'm going to focus on pushing whatever. But this time I was screaming like, I need something. Like, what's going on? It's been an hour. I could do it for a half hour. Now I'm like dying. Anyway, and then they were going to give me like some kind of narcotic. I don't know what it was. Morphine or some shit. And just then my doctor was like, they're here. The results are here. They're here. I'm like, thank fucking God. And then the anesthesiologist came in. So it was probably like an hour and a half of being in labor still. The anesthesiologist came in and he was great, actually. It was a great epidural. It was like I could move my legs, but just where the pain was numbed. And I could still kind of feel the pressure from the contraction, but it didn't hurt. So then I had an epidural. I was 8.5 centimeters. So I labored naturally till 8.5. And I think I could have done it. I could have done it longer if I hadn't been waiting for the epidural. I think that's what made it worse. Cause I was just wait like, okay, hurry up. Like I'm going to die. Where I think if I hadn't been waiting for it, I don't know. It's very mental. I have a friend who did, what is it called? Hypnobirthing, where you kind of like meditate through it and like calm yourself. And then it doesn't hurt as bad because you're not like thinking about how bad it hurts. It's like you kind of think of it as like a tightening, or it's like a wave, and whatever, you have to do it to get the baby out. So anyway, I was 8.5 centimeters. I got to chill for like 1.5 hours. And then someone came in to see how far I was. And then I was 10. And she's like, all right, I think you're getting ready to start pushing it. My contractions were long. They were like 1.5 minutes. And I pushed for maybe like 20 minutes. And then my doctor was like, I see where you had an epidural. And the baby, my babies were both 9 pounds. And so they're like, I see where the epidural is. She's like, I'm just going to cut right there, like where the scar was. She's like, I'm just going to cut there instead of like waiting for me to push the baby out, just to kind of help the baby come out. So anyway, I only had to push for like 1/2 hour. The baby was out at like 10:15. It was either 10:15 or 10:45. I have to ask Brendan. Anyway, he was born on New Year's Eve. So that's my two labor stories. If you do have a baby in the hospital, Becky, I don't know if Australian hospitals are as annoying as American hospitals, where they just fucking bug you nonstop. I mean, use the nurses, have them change the baby's diaper, have them swaddle, like use them for that. Help you go. I mean, you're going to need help going to the bathroom. At least I did. But you can refuse things like wait for them to give the baby a bath. Wait for them to do whatever. Just say, no, I need to sleep, because you really need to sleep. The baby sleeps the most, like right after birth. For like 2 days, it sleeps kind of nonstop. So I think that's sort of the perfect time for the mommy and the baby to just rest. And of course, when you're in the hospital, it's just like people coming in and checking the baby all the fucking time, which is like, leave the baby alone, because he's fine and he needs to sleep. But that's when they check their hearing, they do blood tests, they check all this stupid shit. So anyway, just refuse whatever you can. Say, no, I need to sleep now, because that's your time to sleep, is when the baby's born. So I mean, you know, going back to my friend who's kind of annoying, like I get the desire to have a home birth, and I would if my first two babies didn't need an epidural, an episiotomy. I know people who have had home births and it was great. And or like a birthing center, that actually kind of sounds nice too, with the midwife. And, but then there, you know, there's always a chance for something to go wrong. And I feel like that little chance is enough for me to rather be in a hospital. But maybe next time I'll just be like, I'm going to leave as soon as the baby's born. Like, I'm just going to go, I'm going to go home and sleep. Yeah, the first 2 weeks, the baby sleeps a lot. So that's when you need to catch up on your rest. Don't have any visitors unless they're going to bring food, because there's not really anything they can do. The baby just wants you. Let the baby sleep on you. Nurse, lay with them on the couch. Just like give yourself a month to not have to do anything. Your husband or boyfriend or whoever can fucking deal with it. Okay? They could do the dishes for once. Anyway, this was a long one. I had a request a while ago about doing something on labor. So anyway, I'll do another one soon, I promise. This is not the end for me or you. Sorry if this was too graphic. I love you guys, and I'll see you soon. Bye. Boys Memo.